Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Beyond the Beauty is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Bobby Brown.
Being an entrepreneur means that you just figure things out. You make things up and you just keep going. So what's amazing about Courtney Adelaide is here is someone that was a nurse and started this amazing company, The Main Choice, from a need of creating a moisturizer and hair products for herself. She was having trouble finding a chemical-free product for women of color, and women love this product. And all of a sudden, her side hustle turned into a business where in 6 years, she was $100 million in sales. And that is from the comfort of her kitchen. There is no stopping this woman. She is just begun on this journey. I can only imagine what she's going to be in the next decade. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great too. And I want to start first of all saying that, you know, it's been so cool knowing you and meeting you. And I want to tell everyone how we met. Because people say, you know, during this pandemic, I can't meet anyone. You know, there's no networking. And I'm like, yeah, ladies, guess what? We were on a panel, and you were so impressive that I reached out and said, let's hang. And we did. Yeah. We had a great Who Are You?
Right.
Yeah. So.
And that's the cool thing about it. I think, you know, it's, you know, they say sometimes the older you get, the more serious you get. So it's always so. We try to stick to the right way to do things and what's not. But I think it was so cool that you even reached out and vice versa. Because I think I said before we hung up the phone, like, please, ladies, stay in contact. And I think sometimes we think like, oh, you know, we don't necessarily have to do that. But like you said, it's very important. The networking is what you make of it. How do you network? And I think just taking that chance and to say, let me just reach out and just to see, I think it was priceless. And I really appreciate that.
And what's the worst that happens? They don't answer you
exactly.
Back, right?
Exactly. That's life.
First of all, let's go back to your story because it's unbelievable. You started this company with $500 in your kitchen. You were a nurse, you know, had kids. Tell us your story.
Yes. I would definitely say my business started out as a hobby. It was a hobby that I felt like I was obligated to. And what do I mean when I say obligated to? I was very committed and putting myself out there just like I do now and to see if there's people out there just trying to figure out this new thing that we call natural hair, going chemical free. And for me, my mom put chemicals in my hair when I was like 10. So now I'm dealing with this new texture, trying to go chemical free. And I'm like, surely I can't be the only person out here that's struggling. And it just led to me becoming a resource to a community of women who were trying to figure out how to grow their hair healthy. And the crazy thing was the women, they looked all different. We were just trying to figure it out. Like, we don't want chemicals in our hair. What do we do? And when I started just mixing things spontaneously in my kitchen for myself, and the word got out, like, Courtney hair is out here growing from chin length to shoulder length, and it's going down her back. What are you doing? What are you using? And I'm like, well, if you guys are interested, I'll share with you. But it was just something that I wanted to do for myself. I just wanted to take better care of my care of myself. And that hobby turned into to a demand of women saying, I don't want to mix anything like you do. Can you please just sell it to me? So that's when I'm like, okay, I'll give this thing a shot. And when I say $500, that part is impactful, because what that means is I didn't have a business plan. I didn't have a strategy. I literally was like, okay, ladies, you want it? Let me get some bottles and labels and, you know, things of that nature, and just, you know, try to give you what you want, not thinking that this thing is going to take over a life on its own. And that's exactly what it did. It took on a life of its own.
So your hair care products, are they good for all hair?
It's good for all hair. And we have some, you know, I try to like specialize when it comes to different things. So we have another collection that, you know, we kind of crossed the aisles with, that's called the Peach Black Tea. And I purposely went a little bit lighter on that collection because I knew we were kind of crossing the aisles with that one. But just amazing. And it's so crazy because, again, I kind of, that was my reasoning. But even people who like heavy products, like, oh my God, that's that one, that's my favorite. So it's really all, but I think you will love that one.
Cool. Excellent. How did you start getting orders?
I went at the time and I didn't have a website. I literally went on social media and I'm like, well, here's a product you guys have been asking about. If you want it, you know, I'll just send you like a PayPal invoice. Like, it was so, so not traditional. You know what I mean? I didn't even have a website, but I'm like, I figured out this PayPal. I could send you an invoice. You pay the invoice, I'll ship it out to you. And that's how I started. Because some people are like, well, a website costs more than $500. I'm like, exactly. I didn't have a website.
How long did it take you to get a website?
Oh, not too long. You know, not too long. It started to grow. I remember I got my first order. And I was like, ooh, I got an order. And then the next day, like two orders. And those two orders went to 10. And I'm like, shoot, I'm big time now. I got 10 orders just coming through. So I would definitely say within like 6 months, I'm like, okay. I've always believed in taking every dime that I had, every sale, because you can't say every sale is a profit, but it was a sale. And I was a firm believer on taking every dime that I got through those sales and investing it back into my company. So I was able to take on a grow as you grow approach with my company.
So you didn't take any investors?
I didn't. I just took every dime that someone sent me for a product, and order more supplies, order more bottles, order more labels, order more ingredients.
And in 6 years, you did $100 million in sales. Is that accurate?
I did.
Oh my
Yes,
God.
That's accurate.
That is, I don't know anyone. I don't know any other company. Like, how did your audience, was it YouTube? Like, what was your, you know?
And that was the thing. So I couldn't even stay on YouTube as long as I wanted, because like the demands of the business took over. So I was probably on YouTube more prior to the company versus after. So people were like, what happened to that girl that was giving us all the information and the resources? And it's funny because I get the comments like, oh my God, you were that girl that was giving us those resources. I figured like you disappeared, but I didn't even know you was like the owner of the company, of this company, you know? So yeah, I just had to like go into hibernation, and my focus was always, ever since then to this day, get that order in and give that customer their order. Like, that has been like, by any means necessary. Like, if she order, exceed her expectations, him or her, their expectations, and get it to them ASAP. You know, make sure they're happy.
You had one SKU, one product.
One SKU.
One product. Now, when you got, you've been in retail also, right?
I went into retail year 4.
Okay.
So the first 3 years of business, I was at home. I was in my kitchen.
Yeah. Now they call it DTC. Right. Direct to consumer. Oh, yes. I'm a DTC brand. Yeah. Now they have all the terms. Before, we knew what we were doing.
Right. We just called it a kitchen at home.
Yeah.
We just did it. You literally just do it. People are like, what? just do it.
Just do it. And if, and keep doing it. And if something doesn't work, do something else.
That's it. That's the golden rule.
And then year four, what store, what was your first retail partner?
My very first retail partner was Sally Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Was Sally Beauty. And I was like nervous out of my mind because at this point I was actually scaling my collection and going into retail at the same time. So basically it's like now I'm going to retail with like almost all new products, which was like scary to do, super scary to do.
How did you even like get a meeting with them?
Oh, how did I get a meeting with them? I wound up going to Cosmoprof one year. Like I remember someone in the industry was like, Courtney, if you're in this like beauty space, like you have to go like to Cosmoprof. Like you don't have to even go and set up as a vendor. She's like, just go and just like walk around and just get a feel. And I remember walking through the show, you know, kind of have my baseball cap on, just walking. I remember this guy was like, Courtney, called my name. And he's like, I'm a distributor. He's like, I've been trying to contact you forever. And I'm like, really? I'm like, I've been trying to get in the store forever. Meanwhile, you've been trying to contact me. So it just goes to show you, sometimes you just got to put yourself out there. And like she said, she was like, you don't have to be like a vendor or set up. She was like, just go and be in that space. Be in that space of entrepreneurs and that space of distributors and manufacturers. Just go. And it was life changing.
And how many stores is the brand in now? How many doors?
Year seven, we brokered into over 60,000 doors. I would probably say now we're probably at a good 70,000 across the U.S.
How many years did it take for you to move into an office?
When I went to retail, that's when I decided to get a warehouse. I got my first warehouse after year four. I did about a good $10 million in sales at home. So like the first 3 years, I think collectively, maybe we did like $10 million in sales. But I had three SKUs at that time. When I decided to branch off and do more, that's when I decided to get a warehouse. And I basically went from my kitchen to a warehouse. And I remember looking at warehouses and I came across a warehouse that was like 5,000 square footage. And I remember saying like, oh my God, like, this is too much room. Like I would never fill this thing up. Like it's going to be a long time. Within 6 months, we outgrew that warehouse and I had to get a 10,000 square footage warehouse. And I'm like, okay, we're going to be here. You know, I'm going to sign this lease 5 years. I know I'm going to be here 5 years. The next year we outgrew that 10,000 square footage. So things can scale pretty quickly.
But you had a warehouse, but who was the one that packed it and sent it out? Like you had to hire staff.
Yeah. Yes. I had to become a making products at home person for myself to get in a warehouse to now having to logistically operate. Because of course, you know, in retail, shipping is a whole nother beast. Like the business side of retail is one thing, but the shipping part is something I think you're kind of forced into. Either you're good at it or you're not, or you have like a third party, but we ship ourselves. And you know, you get graded in retail. We've always had an A+ shipping since the day we started. And they were like, well, who did you hire to come in? And I'm like, nobody. Like I did. I just gathered a team of people who I felt were competent, and not only competent, but even more passionate about, once again, getting this order to the consumer in the quickest way, the most efficient way to keep them satisfied.
Well, there must have been.
That was it.
Yeah. And there must have been a time where you said, okay, I can't keep making this stuff in my kitchen. I got to make dinner. Like, how did you feed your family? You have two kids. How many kids?
Three. Three kids.
You got three kids. Your boxes and your things are all over the house. Your pot's going on the stove with hair stuff in it. And how'd you feed the kids? How'd you do this?
So before I went into retail, when I started expanding out of my three products, that's when I decided to seek out a manufacturer. Because I knew at this point, if you're trying to grow, there's no way there. You don't have enough kitchen aids in your house to mix this stuff, which I had like 10. And I'm like, I can't buy another KitchenAid. Like, that's it. I'm like, let me find somebody who can make this stuff, team up with a manufacturing company who can see the vision. And when I say see the vision, meaning that I'm not going to jeopardize my product because of a cost, because of anything. Like, I need this product made the exact same way that I make it at home. And that was something that was really big for me.
So how did you find them?
I Google. I tested. I interviewed. And I think at the end of the day, it's about finding somebody, not just someone who's good, because I think there's a lot of people out there who are good, but who do I mesh with? Like, I have a certain kind of personality. I can create something like quick, like, let's start working on this. And I think that was one of my challenges. It was finding someone who can see my vision. And that, I think that was like the hardest part. But once I did, and like, you know, this person's an entrepreneur. Like, she doesn't operate like a normal, you know, planning and strategy. Next year, we're going to do 5 products. I'm like, I may decide to do another product next month. And I need someone who can, you know, kind of keep up with that, those core values. So.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What year was Main Choice acquired?
Year 7. Year 7. Last year, November 19.
And did that change your life?
It did. It changed my life in so many ways. It went from, again, being a person making products at home to, you know, I think entrepreneurship, you're kind of forced into being like a CEO. And I think a lot of times people don't really understand what a CEO means. It doesn't mean ownership. It doesn't mean, you know, you're not calling the shots, or if you are calling the shots, but at some point you're forced to become a CEO. And then it's like, what's the next step? What's the next level? How do I continue to diversify, to grow, you know, myself, to grow, you know, my ideas? And being a CEO of one company, one brand, I think you kind of outgrow that when you know you have a lot more to like offer. So for me, it changed my life in many ways from just a responsibility. You know, there's more things I want to do. Now, how do I have the ability to do that? Bringing on more people, bringing on more high level people who have done things on a higher level than what you were able to do. So, but of course, from a financial perspective, that was great. But also just even, you know, growing myself as a multi-brand, I don't even want to say beauty mogul. I would just say business, because there's so many things out there that I want to do. There's so many businesses I want to help. And just sitting at one desk, I think it was really impossible for me to do.
And were you out seeking someone, or did they just come to you? Like, how did you find them?
You know, to be honest, I really wasn't. I think, you know, it's kind of almost like you operating. And then I kind of came to the point, I was like, we're kind of hearing about, you know, evaluation. And of course, the more shows we watch, the Shark Tank, and we watch these things, I'm like, I wonder, what is my company worth? And I think I went from what is my company worth to like, oh my God, I didn't know it's worth this. And, you know, just really looking at what are your plans. And sometimes they said you have to begin with the end in mind, but that's true. But then at the end of the day, it's like, what did your goals look like? You know, so I can't say I was really seeking to be acquired, because I really wasn't. It was really more of, what is it worth? What have I been doing these last 7 years? Where does that put me right now? And then it's also, you grow to a point where it's like, okay, to get to that next level, that means I have to spend a lot to get there. And sometimes that a lot spending means bringing on investors, bringing on new partners. And then I have to say, okay, let me take a step back. Do I really want partners? You know what I mean? Do I really want that? And what does that look like in the future? And the more I think I really started digging, because, you know, you kind of open up something, now you have to be forced to like really dig and figure it out. I'm like, I don't know. Do I want to split in 10 years now times six ways? Or today, do I want to split it times one? You know, and you have to look at those numbers and you have to really think like, what does it mean for me and where I am in my life right now? And I think that was a big aha moment. It was like, okay, you know what the next level looked like. I don't think I can get to that next level by myself. So now it's at the point, okay, what does an investor look like? And do I need an investor, or do I need to add on a partner to really grow it to that next level? So I think basically that's kind of how I started.
I see so many similarities in your story and my story. I never went to business school. I certainly didn't know what a spreadsheet was. I still don't. But I figured things out, right? I figured it out. I learned on the job. And you, you know, but I also think back of my Papa Sam, and I used to hear him talking about business and his car dealership and his customers and how he treated them and, you know, all the different things. Who has made a difference in your life? Like, who do you, you know, who has really been in your brain while you're doing what you're doing?
You know, I have to be very transparent from a business perspective. I think I more or less look at the people who have done it before me. And I listen to people. And I think, you know, sometimes we hear these podcasts, we listen to them, but do we really digest them? You know what I mean? And how can, again, even someone listening to this, it's much more than me listening to it. How can I take some of these things that I'm hearing and digest it and make some decisions in my life? And I think that's some of the things that I've done. I looked at the brands before me. I looked at the ones who are what we consider now legacy brands. And I looked at the ones who went through acquisitions. I look at people, I look at you, you know what I mean? And I look at that, like, how can I apply that to my life right now? And I look at when people talk about not only the pros, but the cons. And people say, well, I had to do it like this and I shouldn't have. So I take those things and I apply it. I remember hearing Lisa from Kara's Daughter. She was telling me what that means. I think we were on a panel together at the time. And she was saying what that means when she get in investors, and that one day when you look into sell, how many ways you have to split it. You know what I mean? And I look at that. I'm not just listening to her. I'm letting that digest. You know what I mean? So I think it's more or less like looking at the greats that came before me and seeing how can I apply that. And I think those have been like really impactful from a business perspective, because we don't always have the luxury to sitting down talking with them one-on-one. Can you mentor me? But I think when someone hits the stage, someone like yourself getting on a podcast, that is a mentorship. So what are you doing with that information? Like, you're not doing this just to talk. You're doing this because you're like, I've been through this, ladies. I've been through this, guys. And these are the pros and these are the cons. So I really listen and I let it digest.
I'm in awe of not only what you've done with that company, but what you're doing now. So can we talk about some of your other ventures?
Yes, we can. So when I created The Main Choice, I also created a brand, a company that's called Oberly. It's a branch of my children, three children's names. And I felt even at that time, you know, you can have a vision. And just because you have a vision, that doesn't necessarily mean you're acting upon that vision like today. And this is a vision that I created 7 years ago at the exact same time I made The Main Choice. I said, you know, I wanted to create like this mother brand, like this holding brand that I am creating sub brands underneath, from food to detergent to services. I don't care what it is. And not only do I want to create more brands for myself, I want to invest in, I'm going to say people as a whole, but everyone knows I'm very passionate about women. I want to be able to invest in women who are trying to figure out, they got it. You know, they got the good idea. They may not have the resources and they just trying. And it's like, how can I create like this safe place? And this is something I did 7 years ago. Oberly has not been active for 7 years until I went through the acquisition. So today what I'm doing with that is, again, I want to invest in new brands. I want to invest in brands who have been established and it's like, I need to scale. I just need some extra resources. I want to have this portfolio of just multiple, a group of diverse brands. And that's just something I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about growing brands, but I'm more passionate about growing people who are trying to grow themselves and just need a little help.
Okay. I definitely would love to have a conversation with you on that, because that's really awesome. And then the Coffee Click.
Mm-hmm.
What? Tell me about that.
So the Cool Coffee Click is going to be, and I say you have to speak it to an existence, but just a revolution in the hot beverage industry. It's about taking something, I think, that brings us all together. There are some powerful things, and I think we've proven that just having these conversations in the morning. There are some powerful things, conversations that can go on just having a cup of coffee. And that's like the meat of the brand. It's much more than just another coffee brand, but it's a community. It's a community. We're building a community of like-minded individuals who are trying this thing at life and just want to come together and just pour into one another. So I would definitely say it's a community-based coffee brand. But, you know, my phase two, phase three, I would love to turn into a brick and mortar. Phase three, I would love to turn into a franchise so people who are interested in starting a business can buy into an amazing concept that's already that has been proven. So it's a lot. It's a lot.
Well, I can't even get all this stuff straight, because I see like a bunch of other really interesting companies here, from Foolproof Body to the entire Boss Talk, which is your podcast, your competition show, and your conference. Yes. I don't know how you do this. That's going to be for yeah. So tell me about those, because those, you know, really should take up the whole hour. But tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. And, you know, I'll even, you know, people have been asking me, because everyone knows that I'm rebranding Foolproof. And I really haven't spilled the beans on what is it. So I really don't even mind sharing today. I think that'd be cool to share it, because they ask me every day, what are you doing with it? What else? You say you're bringing some more, but it's actually going to be a feminine hygiene collection. So it's more of a health and wellness. So anything that's related to the female body is what we're going to be expanding that brand with, from sanitary napkins to feminine wash, feminine hygiene, anything that falls under that umbrella, we will house under both the body.
Because it's also a weight loss supplements.
Yes. So now that would be just a piece of the right. of the overall brand for Foolproof.
And then talk about, and I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Is it Boss?
The Boss.
Boss. Ooh,
yes.
See?
So like we're bosses, but you right. know, we're going to take up the OSS, because it's a lot more than just being supervision over someone. It's a lifestyle. And I think it, you don't have to be a boss to own a company. I think people can be a boss over their household. How do you run your household? You know what I mean? How do you run your life, your career, your family? And that's what the boss is all about. And it went from, you know, a platform to a conference to today I have a conversation with a network, you know, turning into a television show. So it's definitely taken on a life of its own.
Wow. Wow. And it sounds like the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Your daughter is the youngest CEO to retail and Target. Tell me about her company.
Yes. So my daughter creates hair bowls. She has all things girly. You know, she just recorded her first single. She's 6 years old. I have two other children. And a lot
of
people
ask me, she's 6 years old?
She's six. She's six.
She's 6 years old and she's the CEO of her own company.
Yes. Yes. She is like a little me as an adult. Not me as little Courtney, but she's wow. just, she's been here before. A lot of people say she's wow. been here before.
And how do you manage your life with your husband? I mean, he's a doctor.
Yes.
Is
yes.
he, is practicing? He's still practicing?
No, he's not. No, he's not. No, it's been a while. I think after year two in business, I think we decided that, you know, it was probably best that he stay home full time. Because listen, I travel a lot.
So and how old are your kids? And how old are the kids?
My kids are 6, 8, and 13.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I have a routine. Have a try.
Oh my God. Amazing. No, amazing. I mean, there's so I'm just so glad I've got you on speed dial. I could talk to you forever. If I ever feel overwhelmed that I'm doing too much, I know who I am calling. But geez, I'm not even going to ask you the same question that I ask so many people about, like, what does being an entrepreneur mean to you? Because I'm not asking you that question. It's just what you live.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I do ask everyone, because this podcast is called Beyond the Beauty.
Okay.
And I just want to know, like, what does beauty mean to you?
Beauty means to me, I'm going to say joy. joy and happiness. I don't like to use the word happiness because I think that can change daily, but I would say joy. When you're at peace, when you're satisfied, when you think you're enough and you really don't care, because at the end of the day, what's on the outside is an opinion, and you're really at the point in your life where you don't care, to me, that's beauty. That's beauty. I'm confident. I'm happy in me. It doesn't matter what someone on the outside tries to come and, you know, and to give to you, because I think that's what people do. They try to give you their opinions and their judgments. But at the end of the day, if you're content and you're happy with you, that's the true beauty. That's true beauty.
Amen. Amen. So what's your daily skincare and makeup routine? You always look put together. I never see you without a face on.
Oh, thank you. Really, I do.
Yeah.
These days, especially this pandemic. I'm really big on treating the inside, because I think the outside is just a reflection of that. So I try my best to stay as healthy as I can. Of course, again, during this pandemic, it's been challenging. We are dealing with these extra weight and pounds, but I would definitely say I try my best to drink as much water as I can. That was something that I really had to force myself to do. And I'm proud to say, because I tell people, just because you don't like something, what does that mean? I can't say I was a big water person who loved it, but knowing that I'm a person who know the benefits of it, it's an automatic, you're gonna do these things that's gonna help you. And I like to say that because I don't want people to think just because you're doing something, you may not necessarily enjoy the exercise. You may not enjoy the water. But to me, the benefits, it trumps that any day. So I just try to do the things that I know I'm supposed to do just to, again, make the outside just as beautiful and healthy on the inside.
And what are your bad beauty habits or bad habits that get in the way of your beauty?
I would say my bad habits is I have the type of skin where I have to cleanse it at a minimum of twice a day, at a minimum, if I want to make sure that it's healthy. And that may not be for everybody, but I know myself. And I think sometimes, especially when I'm not wearing makeup, it's easy for me to kind of fall into, like, did you do your skincare at night? And I'm like, I know I should. I have that kind of skin that if I don't, it's going to show. And I think sometimes wearing makeup, I kind of like it because it forces me to kind of, like, you know, really treat my skin. But I definitely think it's really going the extra mile in the skincare department. That is something I'm like, okay, let me step that up. I have to do a lot better than that. So,
and do you have one product that you can't live without?
One product that I can't live without, I would say it's the Metabolism vitamins that I created, because it's much more than a hair vitamin. And I try to tell people from a health perspective, if you look at it, there's really no such thing as a hair vitamin, or that if you're getting benefits from a vitamin, that means your body needed it. So if you're taking a skin vitamin, no matter what it is, if you're getting those benefits, that means there was some kind of either deficiency or you just needed more of it. So I think that's something that I try my best to do all the time, whether I'm trying to grow my hair or not. It's something that's good for the body as a whole.
I like that. So, Courtney, I could talk to you forever, and I'm going to text you because I have some things on my head that I need to ask you. But where could people that are listening find you, learn more, you know, everything? Where's the best?
I would definitely say CourtneyAdelaide.com. I try to house everything that I'm working on there, all of the brands. So even some of the more fun things and, you know, networking things would definitely be housed on my personal website. And I think that's like a leeway to all the other things that I'm working on. So CourtneyAdelaide.com is where they can find me.
Well, I am so glad you were on this podcast. I'm very honored. I think you are something else. And I can't wait to actually, I feel like I know you, but I want to just hug you. So I can't wait to see you in person.
Thank you. And thank you so much for this. You have no idea. My team always say, Courtney, what makes you excited?
Oh.
This made me so excited. I'm honored, like literally honored. I was like telling everybody, yeah, I'm friends with Bobby Brown now, so, you know. So thank you so much. This is well worth it and well needed. So thank you for including me in this.
All right. Thanks so much. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
gentlemen.
We are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. Is getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.